Hebrews chapter number 11, if you would please. And when you find that chapter, if you would stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter number 11. And we'll read three verses of Scripture, beginning with verse number 17. I hope you'll pray for me that I can get out of my heart what's in it this morning. And God would be glorified in it.
Amen.
The verse says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure."
Amen.
We'll put off reading right there. I hope you'll pray for Brother Hall this morning, all right? Our Father, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to stand again in this holy place. And Father, to preach the Word of God, as unworthy as I am even to be saved, I thank you that you've enabled me to preach the gospel. And I pray that you'll help people this morning. Lord, those that are here, those that listen by the way of radio, Lord, those that are lost, save them, I pray. Those of your children that are struggling, I pray that you'll give added grace. Those that are sick, you touch their bodies, and Lord, those that are in sin, rebuke, and Lord, those that are brokenhearted, I pray you'd revive the contrite and the broken heart. I pray you'll help the pastor, help the preacher, help Brother Hall this morning to say everything that needs to be said that'll bring glory to God. I need precious liberty and unction, and need wisdom, Lord, and I need understanding. I pray you'll touch me by the power of your Spirit. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I think for our text verse this morning, I want to call your attention to verse number 17, where the Scripture said, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac." And I want to take that thought, if I may, this morning, and preach for you just a little while on the thought, when faith requires your Isaac.
Amen.
When your faith requires your Isaac.
Amen.
The Bible said there that by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. I want to say before I ever begin this morning that I realize the I realize how delicate the situation is, or the message is that I'm preaching. And it is delicate because God will see to it that a preacher lives that which he preaches.
Right.
If you're a preacher here and you're going to preach the Word of God, you better take caution on some of the things you say.
Amen.
Because I'll guarantee you down the line somewhere you're going to have to live what you preach. You're going to have to practice what you preach. You're going to have to put into practice what you tell others they must practice. I'll be honest with you. I'm afraid that we've got a lot of preachers today that are trying to tell their congregations how they ought to live. When they're not living it themselves, it's created a great problem, a lot of havoc in the house of God. But by the grace of God, I'm not going to stand up here and preach to you one thing and then cop out on it if God calls on me to bite that bullet and live the life of faith that He's called me to.
Amen.
Now, when faith requires your Isaac, chapter number 11 is the faith chapter. I've been preaching through this chapter, and you know that. And we find there a number of the heroes of faith. But Abraham is just one of them. And Abraham's life in this chapter
is really broken down into three main sections. Or we find there three principal products of the life of Abraham. We find him, number one, in leaving the land of his birth.
Amen.
We might say that that's where Abraham was converted. I thank God for old time conversion. I say the reason a lot of Baptists never learn to live the faith is because they've never been regenerated by the power of God. They've never been saved by the good grace of God. They're trying to live a life of faith, leaning on the arm of flesh, and somewhere down the line it'll fail you, and God will reveal to you just exactly what you are. I'll never forget old brother W.W. Burns, before he died, said that somewhere in your life God will reveal what you really are. And I found that to be true. And brother, the reason a lot of people can't live the faith is they've never been converted by the grace of God. Somebody said, how do you know they've never been converted? Because they've never come out of the land. When Abraham was converted, God brought him out of the world. Now, neighbor, don't tell me that you're saved by the grace of God, and if you're still hobnobbing with the devil's crown out yonder in the world, brother, there comes a separation of the world when we're saved by the grace of God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I really believe there will be a sanctifying power that will overshadow an individual to make him holy, not only in the presence of God, but in the presence of other people in the community and in the church house as well. And so we find Abraham converted when he come out of the land of the Chaldees. And then we find him sojourning, or his manner of life in Canaan, as he sojourned in tents with Jacob and Isaac, the heirs of him with the promises of God. And we might call that his conversation. That is his lifestyle, his manner of life, how he lived in the world. Neighbor, you know the world's watching you. There's somebody out there watching you. And I tell you, I really believe we'll never have revival and have converts until folks in the world see a reality of God living in your life and in my life. You're not going to get your family saved if your family fails to see and recognize the reality of God living in your life.
Amen.
That's right. For the thing I want to be is real. I'm sick of hypocrites. I'm fed up with men talking out of both corners of their mouth. Talking about loving God, and yet their life has no proof that they're really in love with the Son of the living God. That's right. Hey, that's right. Ask most people and they'll say, I don't want to go to church with a bunch of hypocrites. And in most cases, they're right.
Amen.
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 Women don't know how to dress.
Amen.
Amen. We stopped yesterday in a restaurant in Knoxville, Tennessee, coming home from camp meeting. And there's a woman in there had on a pair of shorts, her whole high end hanging out. And had on a t-shirt, and on the back of that t-shirt, it had on there, "Let's Stampede for Jesus." And I said, "Under God, woman, looks to me like you done been run over by a Mack truck, much less a stampede." But I tell you, friend, you're not going to get anybody saved out in the world just playing your stinking flesh. Trying to put on a religious veneer and pretend like you're saved by the grace of God and look like the devil himself, you might as well forget about getting anybody saved like that. You ain't going to do it.
Right,
and then the final, we've got here his offering of Isaac. Or his consummation of faith in glorious triumph. That's exactly what I want to preach on this morning. The consummation of Abraham's faith.
Amen.
As we see it in glorious triumph. There he was tried. We find him saved by faith. We find him living by faith. But hallelujah to God, we find him in the consummation. We find that his faith is tried by Almighty God. I'm telling you, friend, that every man's faith will be tried. You mark that down, that the trial of your faith in the presence of God is the most precious thing. Amen.
Right. Yes, amen.
That's right. And we find him here tried. If you'll notice with me, don't nobody leave me now. When he was tried, the Bible said that he offered up Isaac.
Amen.
Son, I'm telling you, I find that an amazing thing.
Amen.
Now, let me just read some things and I'll try if I can to get into the message. Hey, if you'll notice, in verse number 17, Abraham had already received the promises. For by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he received, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son.
Amen.
Now don't nobody leave, because we're going to preach here in just a little bit. We find that he had already received the promises. There was not a cloud in Abraham's sky. He was rejoicing in answered prayers. His faith had been rewarded by a child. God had given him the request of his heart. For over 20 years, Abraham had been praying and begging and asking God to give him a son. And when that son was finally birthed by Abraham and Sarah, God turned right around and did that which is totally uncommon and unnatural to the affections of man and to the carnal mind of man. God turned around and asked Abraham to give up the very thing that God had already promised him. Now don't leave me. Don't leave me. I mean, things was running well for Abraham. His heart was full of joy. He had the boy, the son of his promise. But like a clap of thunder that comes out of a clear sky and out of nowhere, God said, Abraham, I want you to go yonder to that mountain and offer up Isaac as a burnt offering unto God. Can you imagine what impact that had upon the heart of Abraham when God told him to give up your life dreams, give up your future hopes, give up the best thing that I've ever given you in life? I want it back, Abraham.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah to God.
Praise.
Just like Job.
Yes, sir.
Oh, God had pronounced Job a perfect man.
Amen.
Upright in everything that he did.
Amen.
But then a few verses later, after Job hearing that marvelous proclamation that he was a man that feared God and eschewed evil, and there was no man like him in all the earth, God said, Job, I'm turning you over to the devil.
Right.
I'm telling you, can you imagine how Job felt as his faith began to be tried? I mean, friend, right out of nowhere. Job was enjoying life. He was the wealthiest man of all the East. He had sons and he had daughters. He had money and wealth. He had everything that man could ever expect to have in this life. And out of nowhere, God said, Job, I'm calling on you to give up everything that I've bestowed upon you.
Yes, amen.
Don't nobody leave me now. I'll tell you, it was just like old brother Paul.
Yes,
Paul got saved on the road to Damascus.
Yes,
was living a wonderful life for God. Just like a lot of independent Baptists today.
Right.
He had had an abundance of revelations. But God had instructed him, took him out by on the desert, set him down at the feet of Jesus, and there God began to give to Paul an abundance of revelations. He revealed to him the mystery of the church, that had been held in the mind of God from the Old Testament on up to the life of Paul. I'm sure Paul said, hallelujah to God. God must really love me and care for me. I mean, everything's going my way. He's showing me great truths out of the Bible, things that I've never seen before. He's rewarding my faith. He's blessing me. He's giving me revelation after revelation. But right after the revelation, God said, Paul, what I'm going to have to do is strip you with a thorn in the flesh, lest you get exalted above measure. The abundance of revelation that I've given you. And I tell you, God gave it to him that all that glorious efficiency of the grace of God in his life.
Yes. Amen.
Now, I'm just about to get there. I'm about to get off the ground. Stay with me. And I say to you, church, that it's one thing for God to try your faith.
That's right.
And ask you to give up something worldly.
Preach, preacher.
Let me tell you, a man, a saved man, that God calls on him, he can't even give up a television set.
Amen. Go ahead. Right.
Can't even give up Hollywood.
Yeah.
You gonna tell me you'd rather have a $500 television set than you would have God Almighty?
Right,
oh, God took me through a grievous trial just this past month. Well, what kind of a trial did he try you with? God's asked me to give up television.
Right. You're right.
Oh, I'm telling you, God's really a trial of my faith. He really wants to know whether I've been saved or not. Well, what's God called on you to do, ma'am? God called on me to quit wearing my britches.
Break.
Well, I just don't. I don't believe I can stand. I tell you what, I give up the pants, but I ain't parked with my culottes. Big hairy deal, boys.
Go ahead,
I'm telling you, I've heard some of the most pitiful excuses in life in Baptist churches that men and women are trying to communicate to my heart that they claim God has used as a trial to try their faith by.
Great, brother.
Son, if you can't give up something worldly, how are you going to ever give up your life?
Amen.
You can't give up a television set or a pair of britches. Man, if you can't cut your hair, that's right. Amen. If you can't give up the worldly thing, how God say, would you ever give up the worldly thing God called on you to?
That's right. Amen.
Shut down right there. Like these Christian athletes. Well, I'm a Christian athlete. I play basketball on Sunday and go around the rest of the week and play basketball and give lectures on how God saved me. When you ever go down to the house of God? Yeah, when you ever go down to the church that God purchased with his own blood? I say, hey, man, you can't even give up a seat of basketball. Well, God say, you ever attempted to go out of there? Son, it wasn't something worldly that God called on him to give up.
That's right. Amen.
It was Isaac. It was a promised seed. It was his son. It was the best God had. God had all that. Watched him weep and cry and beg God for a son when he was in his old age. Sarah's womb was dead and the very promise God gave him. God said, I wanted that, Abraham.
Yes, amen. Yes, sir, brother.
True.
Right. Free.
I'm trying to. I'll tell you, it's one thing to give up something worldly. Most of us can't give that up.
Amen.
It's one thing to give up our wants, our desires.
That's right.
Oh, I want this and I want that. Well, I'm telling you, there's some things you might want, but you can't have it and have God too.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Most of us can't even give up our wants for God.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Hey, we're living in the most blessed generation that's ever walked the face of God's earth. We've got more than we've ever had, more money than any generation's ever had, and we're doing less for God than anybody's ever done. I'm going to tell you why. Because we're not willing to give up our wants and our desires for the work of God.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
sitting in the garage.
Hey.
The preacher wants $50 to give to missions, and we balk about it. Got a $25,000 bass boat. The preacher wants $50 for a mission trip, and we grumble and gripe about it. Well, I want that bass boat. Yeah, in hell, you might be wanting to drink the water, bless your heart. Amen. I want. He didn't call on Abraham to give up the world. He didn't call on Abraham to give up his wife. He called on him to give up Isaac.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
And I'm very careful right here. He didn't call on him to give up his wants. He didn't call on him to give up the world. He didn't even call on him to give up something that he had waited for and wept over but never received it. Have you ever prayed for something, begged God for it, and then God just tell you in the word or in prayer that he's not going to let you have what you've been praying for? Have you ever done that? Hey, now, yeah, that's right. God, he didn't even ask him to give up something that he had wept and waited on. He gave it to him. And then took it away from him. And the pride of his faith, the found out what kind of a man Abraham really was.
Yes,
Amen. Now you hear me well. We'll get to the message in just a minute. I ain't got there yet. May I say to you that he was asking Abraham to give up the fulfillment of his dreams of life. Everything you ever. Let me ask something, man. What do you dream for? Well, I'd like to have a new home. So would I. Miss Hall and I were just talking about it this morning. I'd like to have a new truck. Well, I would too. I've been thinking about that for a long time. I would too. I think a lot of things I'd like to have. But I'm telling you, friend, you not getting your wants and your desires is not like something you've got, then God taking it all back away from you as a trial of your faith to prove whether you real or not.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
I didn't think we'd shout. Y'all could have shouted in Sunday school. But I'm getting ready, I believe, to give you something nugget. Well, I'm telling you, it just stirred my soul. It was just he asking to give up the fulfillment of Abraham's dream. Abraham's or the fulfillment of Abraham's dream depended upon Isaac's preservation. God had said through Isaac, Isaac will the promises come.
That's
through Isaac that the Messiah will come. It's through Isaac that all the blessings will come. I tell you, I'm satisfied Abraham may have scratched his head and said, what on heaven's name is God asking me to do? If they buy the fowl for Isaac and Isaac dies, my dreams is down the drain. My posterity, my family is down the drain. I tell you, he done told me that Isaac would be my seed and Isaac would be my heir. And now he's telling me to offer him up on a burnt offering.
Amen.
By the way, what about Messiah? I'm sure Abraham scratched his head and said, my God, if I kill Isaac, no Messiah. No Jesus. The trial of his faith. Folks, I'm telling you.
Right.
No wonder. No wonder. Brother Paul said over in the book of Romans, and I hope I can find this verse of Scripture. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, and Sarah the like manner. But I'm trying to find the verse of Scripture. I'm trying to find a verse of Scripture where it talks about against hope, who in hope, against hope. You hang with me. I'll find it, bless the Lord. I know my Bible pretty well. And I find exactly what I want to say right here. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then with patience do we wait for it. But it was old Abraham that had hope, who believed in hope against hope. When there seemed to be no hope, he still had hope in God.
Amen. Yes, amen.
I'm
know that may sound like a riddle, but I hope I can get that to you in a minute. His preservation, hey. His death would have cut off Abraham's posterity. He would have destroyed the promise of Christ. Why do you think God called on Abraham to have such a severity of the testing of his faith? Author W. Pink made this statement, and I want you to get a hold of it. He said, by knocking upon the vessel, we see whether it is full or empty, cracked or sound. So by these knocks of providence, we are discovered. I'm going to tell you why God put him through such a severe test and a trial. He put him through it to find out what kind of a vessel Abraham really was, friend. The testing by faith, when Abraham was tried, he was called on to offer up the very best that God had already given him. I can see it's going over about like a lead balloon. Summary. Let me ask you this. How would it move you if you had prayed and begged God for a child, and then God told you you had to give that child up?
Right. Amen.
Well, somebody said Hannah did. No, Hannah didn't. Hannah prayed and asked for a child knowing she was going to give the child up.
Amen.
Not Abraham. What did God have in mind? Why such a severe test? Why such a... And look here. And I'm going to say this again because God's run it through my mind four times and I've not said it and I want to say it right now. I realize the delicacy of the situation or the message that I'm preaching right now. Because when God lets you preach something, He may call on you to live it up. You hear me well, friend. You hear me well what I'm saying. I don't know how I'd respond if my faith was tested through me having to give up one of my children. I'll never forget Harold Sattler. When Doc Sattler heard him preaching one time, he talked about the death of little Carolyn Grace, little 12, 11-year-old girl that God had given him, a little beautiful, darling child God had given him, sitting in the middle of Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greenville, South Carolina, with a car problem. Some drunk come up behind him and rammed him in the rear end, and that little girl went out to meet God, 11 years old. I'm telling you, talking about letting the air out of a man's sail. I'm satisfied that let the air out of Harold Sattler's sail. There was his dreams. There was his love. That was the blessings of God, the purpose of God. That went all down the drain. I'm going to tell you, talking about a trial of faith, buddy.
Man.
Harold Sattler said he went to preach in a meeting not too long after that, in a meeting one night, and said a man got up out of that meeting, got up out of the crowd at the end of that service and walked up and said, I want to say my name is so-and-so, and said, I work for the Pennsylvania Railroad and I'm stationed in Atlanta, Georgia. And I just wanted to stop and shake hands with a man that God is not afraid to turn the devil loose on. He said, and I drove all the way from Atlanta, Georgia to tell you this, there's only one way you can go, and that's it! That's right. God brought Abraham down. Abraham paid him back. Oh, yes, when he offered up that little boy, God brought him down to the valley of despondency and despair that he might exalt him to greater and more glorious things for God.
Yes, amen. Fruit.
Amen. That's right. Now, I want to get to my message. And I'll try to. Why did God put him through such a severe test? I want to say, number one, to provide an example for other people.
Amen.
Oh, that don't sound very deep. But Abraham's called the father of faith.
Amen.
That's right. God let him walk through that to make him an example of to other people.
Right.
And may I say to you that it's not some raw recruit, buddy, that God calls on. But it's some old battle-scarred veteran. Some that God sticks out in the forefront of the battle. Somebody that's already walked through waters, through deep waters, and He brings him through deeper waters. Amen. Because I tell you, the deeper water you walk through, the greater opportunity you'll have to serve God. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac.
You talking about a crowd, deep water, give up my only begotten son that you have so graciously bestowed upon me. Why do I do that, God? That you might be an example unto those down the road. I'm going to tell you, everybody in here, or to stand up and shout.
Amen.
That God let Abraham go through it, and he made it. God let you go through it.
Yes,
amen. You can make it. That's right.
Yes.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Somebody said, why do you want to make him an example of? Making him an example to others in love. I'm satisfied he wanted to prove, Abraham had to prove whether who he loved the most, whether he loved God.
That's right.
Or whether he loved family.
Amen.
You hear me well. Buddy, and I hope this is soaking somewhere.
Hey.
Except you love me more than you love mother and father, you cannot be my disciple. Oh, that's right. That's right. I heard what God said. Abraham, I want to prove to the world out there that there's somebody a living that loves God more than they love anything else in all this world, that He is supreme in your heart. I want to ask you something. Is He supreme in your heart and life today? Oh, that commandment is still real.
Yes.
To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy body, and all thy soul. I really believe God tries us to prove to us just how much we love the Lord. Do you really love Him? Hallelujah to God. Can you really look to Calvary? That's where the Lord was proved on Mount Moriah. When Abraham walked up that mountain with that little boy in the wood on his back, they went ahead for that altar. That's where I love for God was proven. He proved that he loved God more than he loved anything else in all of this world. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Do you really love him this morning?
Sir,
amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, those trials are not to prove to God whether you love Him or not. He knows it.
That's right.
They'll prove to you whether you love Him or not.
Amen.
What are you willing to give up for Him this morning?
Right. Which is free. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
When I survey the wondrous cross
upon
which the Prince of Glory died. Oh, listen, folks. God wants us to know the depths of His love, but God wants us to know and realize just how much we love Him. And I tell you, old Abraham was an example. Abraham proved that he loved God more than life itself.
Amen.
Do we love Him more than life itself?
Amen.
Do we love Him more than all the treasures of this world? Do we love Him more than all the possessions we can accumulate? Do we love Him supremely? Does He sit on the throne of our heart as the chief feature in our life? Do we love Him with an unswerving, undying, unending love by the grace of God today?
Yeah,
you see. Amen.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
To prove, to provide an example for others in love. Amen. To love Him more than family. Matthew 10:37 makes that statement. If you don't love God more than you love mother and father, you cannot be my disciple. How about loving Him more than friends?
Amen.
Everybody look right up here at me. I might just worry about, I'm about to get out of this introduction where I can preach. Amen. Do you love Him more than you do the friends?
Right.
How about lost friends?
Amen.
What would you do if you had a friend, say an old fishing buddy or an old hunting buddy, that you just love? Amen. Or family members that you just love dearly, or an old lost friend that you just love dearly. I mean, you hunted with him, feast with him, and all of a sudden, reading your Bible, you read where God said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and God called you to give up your best friend.
Amen.
Somebody said God wouldn't do that. Don't tell me if God called on a man to give up his own kid.
That's right. Amen.
Son, I'll say real about a sorry lot today.
Amen.
Hobnobbing with that crowd.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you this. What would you do?
Pray.
What would you do if God called on you to give up friends you've got down at the church house?
Pray.
Some of you ain't right careful sitting in here this morning. You'll choose friendship over the love of God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And you've found love big time, folks.
Amen.
Let it soak in what I'm telling you.
Right.
Amen. Let me ask you this. I wonder how many folks is listening to our radio broadcast right now that's in some old dead church. Dry, dead, quiet, plucked up by the roots, where God is not honored anymore, where the Word of God is not preached anymore, where there's no Spirit anymore, no God anymore, and God all of a sudden cries out to them, come out from amongst them and be a separate, says the Lord. And they say, oh, I can't, because all my friends are members in this church. Well, my God, I was one of the founding fathers of this church. Said, I've been a deacon here for 25 years, and you call on me to get out of a church where all my friends are. I'm telling you right now, a man ought to be willing, bless God, to pack up his family and move.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Be it somewhere where God's at.
Amen.
That's right.
To provide
an example of the love of God.
Right, amen.
What if God called on you fellas to give up your money?
Right, amen.
No offense to you, my brother, but I know a lot of missionaries run around all over the country already drawing $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 a month mission support. Yeah. They run around all over the country trying to scorch churches out of more money. That's right. And I'm not talking about him. I don't even know this man. I never looked on his face before as I know in all my life. I don't even know it. That's why he's not preaching this morning. I don't preach people up here I don't know. Amen. That's just the way Brother Hall is. That pulpit to me, I guard that pulpit.
Right.
I just don't let somebody up there. I don't know it. I ain't heard preaching, don't know how they live and where they stand. That's right.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, we live in a money sick society.
Amen.
That's right. I just wonder if our love for God is worth more than and the bucks we got in the bank. Now, I'm not insinuating you ought to go drain your bank account. I'm just telling you, if you're called on, hey, God didn't call on everybody to give up Isaac, but He did call on Abraham.
Amen.
That's right. I'm going to tell you one thing. You listen to me, what Brother Hall's telling you. Brother, I don't care if it is over the air. I'm going to say it right over the air. I saw a man about 7 or 8 years ago stand right about along in here where I'm standing and looked Hanley Melby in the face and shook Brother Melby's hand. And he was a trembling buddy and a quivering and a shaking all over, and was as white as a ghost, and walked back to that pew back there, and he hung on to that pew for a little while, and he fell back down yonder in that pew and sat there. And his wife, I read her lips. His wife leaned over to him and said, "Give it up! Give it up! It ain't worth it! Give it up! Give it all up!" And he looked his wife straight in the face and said, "No!" Now I'm going to tell you, that man owned the mortgage on this property. We owed that man $90,000+. And God, as sure as I'm living where I'm living, tried him on his money, standing right there looking Hanley Milby in the face, and he said no, and he went out of here. As far as I know, he's not even serving God at all today. You hear what I'm telling you, buddy?
Amen.
Well, that's right. What would you give? What would you give up for God? What's more important to you than the love of having God?
Amen.
Is there anything in your life more important than having He who is altogether lovely? Is there anything worth having more than the Son of God that loved you and died? You might have life. Is there anything more precious than life itself?
Right. Amen.
Now, listen. Finances. Family. Friend. But I'll tell you, the greatest trial is where you've got your love set. What you got your love set on this morning. It don't have to be family. It don't have to be friends. It don't even have to be finances. It can be prestige, power, little position in life, the job. Oh, it can just be most anything.
Right.
That's right. It can be laziness.
Right.
It can be sorry.
Right.
Where you, what you got to pay? God asked him to give up what he had his love set on. That boy was the apple of his eye. God said, I'm going to try your faith, whether you love me more than anything else in the world. I'm going to ask you to carry the mountain of Moriah, and give him an offer on an altar.
Amen.
Offer him on that altar. That's right. To provide an example to others in his love. To provide an example to others in his loyalty. Self-denial. Forsaken our choicest interests for a good conscience. That's right. Amen. I'm telling you, there's some people God call on to give up, to deny themselves, to give up something in life, and they won't do it, and their conscience hammers them the rest of their life. That's right. Amen. Their best interest. They just won't give it up. And I'm going to say this, if it hurts, it's the devil. Old Steve Vincent back there come to me months ago, and he said, Brother Hall, he said, is there anything wrong with fishing? I said, there ain't a thing, not a thing wrong with fishing. I said, I don't see a thing wrong with a man going fishing every now and then. He said, but what am I going to do if God told me not to fish no more? I said, if God told you not to fish, then don't fish.
Right. Amen. Amen. Right.
I'm telling you, if God told me tonight not to shoot another deer, I'd go home, get my hunting rifle, sell it, give the money to missions, or pay a bill with it. I wouldn't kill another four-footed creature, boys.
Amen.
That's right. Y'all look kind of pale.
Amen.
God told me to go home, get rid of every pocket knife I got. I guarantee you, they're gone. I have no interest in life that supersedes God. Loyalty. You want to be loyal to God?
Amen.
I'll tell you what. He proves that love, proves that loyalty. You'll either go and walk with him, or you'll depart from the faith and become a heretic.
Amen.
An apostate.
Praise.
You don't have to have money to have God bless your heart.
Right. Amen.
His loyalty. Now I'm trying to hurry because I've got a little way to go yet. To provide an example for others in his liberty. That is to say, did Abraham love grace more than he loved sin? That's right. Let me ask you that. Do you love grace? Abraham, look here. When he tried his faith, I'll guarantee you if Abraham would have faltered there, it'd have been all over for Abraham with the shout today.
Amen.
To try. There's nothing in the scripture that he would ever try anywhere before he ever opened that Bible. It said, the trial of your faith.
Even
satisfied somewhere in your life, God will confront you with that most precious thing in your heart.
Right.
To find out if you're willing to give it up.
Right.
To find out whether you love grace.
Amen.
More than you love your sin.
Right, preacher.
There's a lot of people, Brother George, love their sin a whole lot more than they love grace.
Amen.
Right. Right. Oh, thank God I've been liberated.
Yes, sir.
Grace is greater than all our sin.
Right.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Yes.
I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Oh, may God's grace be manifest.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. God said, Abraham, go offer that boy on that mountain.
Amen.
Now find out whether you love me more than you love your enemies. More than you love your idols. More than you love the world. More than you love your sin or not.
Yes, man.
Now, be honest. Right here is a point I've been trying to get to. And I know it ain't going to go over now because I think some of y'all have done been preoccupied with other thoughts. But the severity of that test was to provide an example for others. And number two, it was to prove the efficiency of God's grace.
Amen.
Let me ask you something this morning. Is grace sufficient for you?
Amen.
Is grace that's greater than all your sins sufficient for you? Is God's grace efficient this morning for your sin? You see, when God called Abraham in chapter 22 and told him to get up early the next morning to a place that he had chosen and offer his son, his only son, Isaac, upon an altar
That's right. God told him, said, you go offer it. I'm going to prove there whether my grace is sufficient or is sufficient for your sin to take care of every sin you've ever committed, Abraham. Now here's what God, and I've been holding this, is God's to prove the efficiency of His grace over sin. And I was hoping the service would be high, but it just didn't get off the ground. But I'm going to give you this. Over His sin. This is what God showed me at 1 o'clock in the morning. Laying in my bed last Monday night. Really last Tuesday morning. Do you remember there in the day? You remember Brother Aubrey Graham preaching? That so many preachers liken that wood that they carried up that mountain was a type of the cross. No. Brother Brown pointed out how that wood was a type of sin. And that those donkeys carried that sin, carried that wood, all the way to the bottom of the mountain. And I'm the son, go yonder and worship and come again. And Abraham took the wood off of the donkeys and put it on the back of Isaac.
Amen.
And headed Isaac up that mountain with that wood on his back. That is a type of the Son of God, yes, a carrying sin up that mountain. That's right. But don't leave. Right here is what God showed me. If you read Genesis 22, the Bible said there that Abraham rose up early in the morning and he clave the wood for the burnt offering. Buddy, God said, Abraham, that's your sin. It went over you, didn't it? Oh yeah, we always say he carried our sin. He carried the sin of the world up the mountain. But Abraham, God said, I'm going to prove to you that my grace is sufficient to take care of your sin. It was your wood, Abraham, that you claimed that day. But he rose up early. He got up early. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Sinners in early in life cleave their own little wood pile.
Right.
Unbelief, ungodliness, immorality, adultery, fornication, whoremongering, harlotry, doping, rock music.
Amen.
You woke up early in life and you've clothed your own wood, buddy. You worked on your own sin. That's right. You chopped out your own sin. But I'm going to tell you that the grace of God is sufficient to carry your sin up Calvary's mountain,
yes,
and come back down to the other side without it. Hallelujah.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
Right.
That's right. To prove the efficiency of His grace over sin. To prove the efficiency of His grace by the Son.
Amen.
It was the Son that carried it up that mountain. And it by or through the substitute, aren't you glad?
Yes.
That every step old Abraham took up one side, that ram walked up the other side.
Yes.
Amen.
Hello. Yes.
Can I read this to you? By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises of offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You know what God's saying there? God's saying that Abraham went up that mountain believing that there'd be a substitute to die in his place. And he looked, not only did he provide for him the efficiency of his grace, but he had a very precious event in mind when it happened. And it was the resurrection. He said that he accounted him. That's right. That said old Abraham offered up that boy with a faith in his heart that God would raise him out of the grave, triumphant over death, sin, and hell. Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
Let me ask you something this morning. Son, you still living in a fear of the grave?
Praise, brother.
Are you afraid to die? Are you afraid to die? I've had some of you in the last little while to tell me, Brother Hall, I'm afraid to die. Here's what Abraham said. If he dies on the mountain, I believe he'll get up.
Amen.
Got that kind of faith this morning?
Right.
It may take the offering of your Isaac
right.
to prove that kind of faith in your life.
Amen.
I hope that it don't. I've tried to preach. Something comes nervous down. Let's stand up.